Yeah, I'm the granny around here. I get called Oma by the little ones nowadays. So that's something to get used to. It's now the second little one that calls me Oma as soon as I get into the car. Oma. So I guess I've gotten to that age, which makes me feel a little bit mature. But it's good. It feels like it's actually nice to get older, because it feels like you're starting to maybe get some wisdom. What is this thing? Oh, it's a thing that's supposed to keep my papers in place. There.
The Holy
Spirit blows. Yo, I'm sort of the mother around, you know. I'm sort of the mother of all the pastors. You know, we've got lots of churches, about 25 all over the place, that don't belong to us. It belongs to the Lord. It's just all that started spontaneously, even like this fellowship here. And it's so nice to be here. Last time when I was here, there were 16 people in the church. So I want to commend you for inviting your friends and to reach out to those around you and to bringing them here so that they can, hello, he's the man who built my house. Anyway, I thought you were God for the weekend. They said you're God for the weekend. Anyway, so... You know, so I know lots of you guys, I know some of your faces, but lots of you don't know me, so some of you maybe have seen, I don't know if you should do Bible school or foundations or something here with my long hair, you know, but David fixed all that. David Sandenberg, I think it was it last year or the previous year, he said to me, Sil, can I ask you a personal question? I thought, oh, great, David. Because we were staying while the house was built, while Tinus was building the house, we were staying with his mom and dad in their guest house for a while. And David just came to me, and he's very forward. So he said to me, can I ask you a personal question? He said, why don't you cut your hair? Do you like it, David? And I said, if it bothers you, David, I'll cut my hair. So I cut my hair. So ever since then, I've really enjoyed it. I had different styles already, because I was actually quite boring. I never thought of that. Never thought about it. So there. Every time you'll see me, I'm going to look different now. I'll draw up a gouden ring. But it really goes. Yes, the Lord gave me a message for you. And I'd really like for you guys to actually also just pity all of you weren't here yesterday, but because today sort of will help you if you get the CDs of what I was sharing yesterday. Also to the worship team primarily, but also to some people who came to join us from the church on just your personal time with God. And just really, you know, some of us are scared, like I used to be, of a quiet time. Or you don't know what you're supposed to do there, you know. And how do you approach God? And does he receive me? Should I repent of my sins? Am I worthy? All of that kind of a stuff. You know, sometimes sometimes it's just a fear in people to draw close to God, and he's just so ready to bless us. Like he said this morning, just come to me. You know, you don't have to be good or perfect or anything like that, or sinless, or, you know. I'm so incredibly approachable. If you draw close to me, I'll draw close. But I want to go into that now, because then I'll preach a whole new sermon. But really, you know, I really want to ask you, in fact, to... for your own personal growth and for your own benefit and for the benefit of the church on the whole together. You know, we can impact this town by just being in tune with God. And this morning, I'm going to specifically talk about that. You know, who of you sometimes pray and your prayers just don't get answered? Eh? Yeah, and now you think, is there a God? You know, because he says, if you pray, I will answer. Knock and it will be opened. Seek and you will find. All of that stuff. And he says that he'll answer my prayers, and I'm not answering my prayer. You know? Who of you have specifically asked God, God, show me your will, and then you go into a direction because you're convinced this is the direction that God is speaking to you about, and you're really gone for that, you know? And then you find yourself running yourself into a wall, bloodied nose. Totally embarrassed. Who's been there? And you think, now what now? I asked you for your will, Lord. And there I got a revelation of sorts, or a this or a that. And I moved in that direction. And then now it turns out not to be you at all. It's just terrible. to go through that kind of deception, you know. I mean, I remember I went through that when I was quite a bit younger, before I was married. I remember I was convinced I was going to marry another guy. Convinced of it. You know? When I think back of it now, I'm so glad that I didn't. But at the time, I was absolutely convinced I was. And for 4 years, I lived in a deception with this. Because, I mean, you know, long story. But that kind of a thing can really throw one, eh? Who's been thrown with that kind of a thing? The voice of God. The voice of God. Who battles to hear the voice of God, yeah? Who really battles to hear specific instruction? You know, you're in a situation. I hear there's lots of doctors here, you know? And you want to know from God here in the situation, you're not sure this or this. And you would like God to show you, you know? But that voice is a bit vague, you're not sure. Or you're supposed to make a decision at work. Or there's a situation, there's a conflict situation, you just wish you had that sharp wisdom to know how to handle this thing. But you don't, and you sort of plug in, you know, it's like tuning a radio, and that voice just, it's, you know, shh. It just doesn't, you know. You know the voice is somewhere in there. But it's just sort of a little bit tuned out. And, you know, you sort of almost get there, and then it almost sounds like a proper voice, but then it just doesn't, you don't get to understand it, hey? So sometimes you know, you read the word even, and you know it's the word of God, but what is it saying to you specifically? You want a specific leading. And the scripture says, in Isaiah 30, verse 21, it says, whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Hey? And we desire, who desires to know that voice? That when you're walking, that voice says to you, this way, this way, this way. This is what you say here. Okay, and it just comes up. Oh, all this wisdom that comes out of my mouth. You've heard of that, hey? Where people say in a situation, you know, God just gave me wisdom and I spoke and I listened to myself. And you think, well, it never happens to me. You know, all that comes out of my mouth is a lot of foolishness. And I always put my foot into it and make it worse. You know, those situations when we have that conflict in the marriage and that kind of a thing. And so it takes 4 hours and it's still not resolved. Where is the wisdom of God, you know? And do you know that actually God wants us to know from one moment to the next, He wants us to know His will and that it is possible to walk even as Jesus walked. Because He says, walk even as Jesus walked. Doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect or sinless or without fault, but there is the potential to move and to grow in the direction where we know every time how to handle every situation, and where we get divine wisdom in situations where we need it, you know? Not just with the big things, the decisions about who shall I get married to, or very big decisions those, or what job will I do, you know, those big things. But the little, that's what we want, that tiny little instruction that I know. This is going to bring success. Because at the end of the day, I want you to know that God is not a God who wants you to run yourself bloody nose into a wall. He actually wants you to know His will, and He wants you to be successful. He wants you to be successful. He's either got a hope and a future for you. I want you to have life in abundance. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you will have life and have it in abundance. That is God's will for us. Okay, it's just that our idea sometimes of abundance is very shallow. You know, the stormers must win. Then I'm happy. You know, that's not really abundance. In any case, especially nowadays. But, it's nice to watch the stormers, you know, to moan about the ref together, and that I was saying last night. It's nice to be together, to have something that we can moan about together, in any case. But that something that Isaiah talks about, that voice that we sometimes so battle to tune into, isn't that right? And so then there's also James 4 that says, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Ooh, but if I ask, then I don't get, you know. What happens here? You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Oh my goodness. When do I know that I ask aright, and when do I know that I ask amiss? Who's already battled with that one? Okay? And then it says in the next thing that I put up for you, 1 John 5 verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that we ask anything according to His will. He will hear us. I used to stumble over that one, you know. Okay, so God, You say we can ask whatever, but it must be according to Your will. How do I know what is Your will? You see, and this morning we're going to look at that. To see how can we grow to the place where my will becomes more and more God's will. You see, so that I know, so that my prayers all get answered. All of them get answered. Because I'm tuned in to the will of God, you see. And the will of God will include stuff that are beneficial to me. You know, it doesn't mean that in the previous scripture, you know, you ask amiss because you want to spend it on your pleasures. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to have a good time on the earth. It's just that there's priorities in our lives. Like He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. You know, there's a priority in God's thinking that I want us to look at today and see what does it actually mean, you see. Because the fact of the matter is we can be so tuned into God's wavelength that we know, we experience, and our desire really is the same as His desire. And so when we pray, we know, we have the confidence to know that He hears us and that He will answer our prayer. Jesus says, when He broke that bread, you know, when He had to feed the 5,000, He prayed. He said, God, I know You hear me and You always hear me. What a lack of plaque to be, eh? But You hear me here and You will always hear me. And so then I break it and I know it's going to feed everybody. You know, old Peter and John, I think, was it who walked past the gate, beautiful. And there was this lame man sitting begging. And they just knew this is the time for this man's healing. Silver or gold have I none, but what I have I give to You. Do you know that Jesus walked past that guy many times? Because he'd been sitting there at the gate, beautiful, for many years, it says, the Bible says. And Jesus went up and down there lots of times, never healed him, because it wasn't God's instruction for him to heal that particular man. See, he was sharp. He knew when God spoke. And so the disciples also started getting into that thing, you know, to know the voice of God and to be sharp. Okay, so that's where the Lord wants us to move to, because the Lord's on His way with His church. He's on His way somewhere. He's on His way to revealing to the whole earth the sons of God. The whole earth are going to know who are the real Christians and who are the fake ones, because there's lots of fake Christians. You know, there's now billboards everywhere that the Lord is coming on the 21st of May. You know, it's so sad for me because so many people are going to, you know, look at the Christians and say, look at what's, you know, how stupid you are. So there's going to be some kind of a quality, there's going to have to be some quality in the real sons of God that sets us completely apart from what goes down as Christianity. You know, there's lots of Christians in the world calling themselves Christians. There's lots of churches even in the world saying we're a Christian church, you know. And let me tell you, there's lots of people in those churches that are really children of God. But there's lots that aren't. And I'm not just talking about traditional churches. I'm talking about charismatic churches, you know. And so the Lord is starting to make a separation between the chaff and the wheat. And He says you can build. He's talking to Christians. You can build with wood, hay, and stubble. Or you can build with precious stones. And if you build with wood, hay, and stubble, and you can see wherever He talks about that, that's built from a position from pride. But if you build from a position of humility, then it's going to stand, you see. Then He can send His fire, He can send any circumstances, you're not going to be thrown. See, anyway, can't go into that now. But the fact is God is moving with His church somewhere and He's moving to us closer to the place of the big day of the wedding feast when our clothes are going to be white, He says, without spot or wrinkle. He's at the moment, He's getting rid of the spots and the wrinkle kind of a stuff. And He says the bride is making herself ready for the bridegroom. Did you know that in the Hebrew wedding, in the olden days, the son, the bridegroom, he didn't come to his wife until the father told him Now you go. And she didn't know when he was coming. She had to make herself ready and she had to be prepared for whenever. They had not knew more or less, obviously, you know, but he didn't know the particular date or the time that he was going to come. That is why, you know, this whole thing of saying, well, you know, Jesus is judgment day, this day, when Jesus himself says that he doesn't even know, just the Father in heaven knows when he's coming to fetch his bride. And I mean, they didn't know about Jesus and all of that stuff when that was already practically being lived out in the Jewish marriage, you see. But in any case, that's just interesting. But the fact of the matter is, when we look at history, eternal history, then on the earth age is very, very short. This is the place where we are sojourners in this world. Be careful that we don't get sucked into getting so distracted with the things around us that we forget where we're going. That is why you come to church. Just get your eternal perspective straightened out from time to time. Because you know how it works. You know, we live in a world where people don't think eternity. Although, I must also say that they're starting to think eternity now. Because of Japan, Christchurch, everything's starting to rattle. People are dying. You sit, you drink your coffee, the next minute, you're dead. Because the tsunami just took you, you know, and your house and everything else. And people are starting to think eternity. The harvest is getting ready, you see. People are thinking more now, and they are more open to the gospel now, and it will happen more and more as the days get worse, you see, where they're going to have to think of their eternal destiny. And so it's more and more the Lord is going to start revealing who the sons of God are. And I really trust that we, all of us here this morning, will be part of that revelation of the sons of God. Which is going to mean that we're going to have to live like Jesus and his disciples lived, you see. Where goodness, where our shadow falls on people and they get healed. You know, we look at a scripture just now to see what was Jesus talking about when he talked about the harvest being ready. What happened? What was the sort of surrounding things that were happening when he was talking about that? But we'll look at that in a minute. But just to give you sort of an eternal perspective, we are moving somewhere, and so the Lord's going to speak to us at the moment about stuff that he hasn't spoken to the church about before. Because he's perfecting his church. He's bringing us more knowledge, and he's shining his light on certain stuff in our hearts that he tolerated, that he put up with up till now, but he's not going to put up with it anymore. You know? At the same time, his grace is so incredible. Have you noticed? Have you started noticing that the things that used to give you a kick don't give you a kick anymore? Who started noticing that? You watch TV maybe, and suddenly this thing is just getting a little bit boring to you now. You know? Maybe you've been a sport fanatic and suddenly it's like your appetite's starting to wane. You know, the things that used to really give you a scoop, just doesn't do it for you quite as it used to anymore. Who's that happening to? Let me see. Yeah. And for those of you it's not happening to, it's going to start happening. Be open for it. Because the Lord's changing our appetite. He's so gracious. He's doing it for us because he knows we can't fill our lives with the kind of stuff that we used to fill it with. Otherwise, we're going to miss him. You see, we're going to miss where he's moving. Because he's really, why he's saying these things, come to me because he wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to us. He wants to lead us. And let me tell you, whenever God leads you, there's abundance of life. There's abundance. It's that oxygen that he gives you, you see, that inspires, that ignites, that brings to life. And many Christians are lying dormant. They are mediocre in the experience of life. They don't get up in the morning excited about the day. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands here. But who gets up in the morning going, wow, it's a new day? He's not shy to say it's great for him, you see. Now God wants us all to go, wow, and the devil to go, he's awake, you know. That's what the devil must do as soon as you open your eye and you press down that thing that wakes you up. The devil must cow and go, oh no, he's awake. You know? And for us, how can I destroy? How can I trample on some serpents and scorpions in people's lives today? Ooh, there's a sick person at work. Sickness in the name of Jesus. You know? And the person recovers, and the next day they say, what was in your hand? Was it like, you know? No, man, it's the power of God. It's all inside of me. You want it? You know? And at the end of the day, you go, wow. That was an exhausting day, but so exhilarating, you know? Killed some snakes. Brought some joy into people's lives. You know, you don't have to do that thing. Just be nice, you know? Because most people aren't. Isn't that so? You know, you arrive at work, everybody goes, it's Monday, you know. And you're going, hi, guys, how's it? But somehow they wish they could also have that kind of life, you know. And so God wants that thing. Now, I know for most of you it's not there, you know, but God wants us to come to that place, and that's the abundant life that he's talking about. It's happening to me more and more and more, more and more. So God wants us to grow into that. The older I get, the happier I get. Because I'm starting to realize that all the stuff that I used to fear, that they were lying to me, that God is all sufficiency, you know, all these spiritual things, that when I have him, when I download him and all of that stuff, then he's actually, that's abundant life. I used to think, no, that doesn't sound right to me, you know. Because you get so distracted with the pleasures of the world, the pleasures of the world, the pleasures of the world. You see, what happens is when we don't know God yet, we are just, and I explained that yesterday, soul and body. Right? You've got your emotions, your mind, your will, all of that stuff, and your body. That's all. And so you had to sort of work out some pleasurable stuff for you to keep you going and not killing yourself out of boredom or something, you know? So in that life, we sort of filled our lives when we weren't working or studying or whatever. We filled our lives with stuff that sort of will give me a kick, you know? Different people do different things, but you get like dictated to by your soul, man, by your emotions. What do I feel like doing now? Shall I eat a chocolate or shall I eat an apple? No, God forbid. Give me a chocolate. You know, that's going to give me a kick. Or let's go to the movies. You know, there's nothing wrong with eating chocolate or going to the movies. But you know, that is where this, the only realm that you lived from was. And that dictated to you what you were going to do with the rest of your time. And you needed some kind of stimulation to keep you in this life, you know, to keep you going, to have something to look forward to, isn't that so? So you'd plan something for the weekend so that, you know, you can sort of reward yourself for working so hard in the week. That's your spirit and that's your body and that's your soul. You see, so now God comes and he, Ephesians 2 verse 1, says you were dead in your trespasses and now I've made you alive in Christ. So he brings your spirit man to life. I made a big mistake with my fingers yesterday in the meeting. But because I showed them one after the other. But your spirit man comes alive and now you know, you're aware of the fact that you're connected to something that's bigger than this life. And now God wants to feed this whole thing and he wants to show you more and more and more and download himself to you more and more and get you to be more what we call Christ-like. Which doesn't mean that you're just a better person. It just means you're being transformed on the inside to get excited about a little bit more than just what you see here. You see? And so that knowledge is like a baby who's in the womb. I mean, it's not comparable to what he can experience in the womb. It's pretty dark there, you know. And whatever he hears on the outside sounds like, when dad and mom talks and the music goes, but when he's born, ooh, 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 that music, he can hear that there's a violin and there's a, he doesn't know it's called a violin, but I mean, he can hear there's differences. It's light, you know. And he gets used to the light and it's just so wonderful. You know? And mommy's voice says, hello, my darling. You can actually hear the different, you know? It's completely a different world that now this child can't wait to grow up, you know? Can't wait to grow up. He runs around and hits his head against stuff as he falls, etc. And in the same, but he's discovering life. He's discovering life, you know? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I can count 8, 7, 9. You know, gets it a bit mixed up when he goes further. But, you know? And so it's an exciting thing to discover. And God wants us in the same way when we're born again to start discovering the length and the breadth and the width and the everything of God's love. And it's not just a feeling. It's a huge thing, man. What's the name? Just gave me a book that I've got to give to Fred about stars. It's this thick.
You know, just to discover some of God's creation. He wants to show us His glory. He says, man, look around you and see all the stuff that I've made. Oh, that's a tree and that's a flower. And I'm used to it, you know. I mean, a tree and a flower and a bit of sand and the sea. Oh, well, you know, I'm used to that. Just like the guys in the desert who go, that's flipping manna. So sick of it. Manna braai, manna cookies, manna this, manna that. And they completely forget to realize that, you know what, it's actually raining food, eh? It's actually a miracle. But you know how we live. We start taking things for granted. And you know, God wants to bring our eyes back to seeing His glory. And I shared yesterday, that's what happened in my life when I decided to stop moaning. You know, like the Israelites in the desert, they moaned all the time. And when I clicked this thing, that the Lord was upset with them because they weren't thankful. God has got a problem with us when we're not thankful. You see, when we just get into this sort of mode where we start moaning about stuff. And I remember about 10 years ago, my husband said to me, hear yourself. Just listen to yourself. Have you heard how much you moan? You know? And I made a quality decision in my life then. I share about that on the things. I'm not going to go into it. To get into thankful mode, my life completely changed. Completely changed. And I grew into this thing that I'm wanting to share with you today. Okay, so I better go on before you never ask me to come back. And I want to come back. That bed in Sonica's house is just the best. I want to sleep on it again. Anyway. So, God wants us, do you get me? God wants us to really tap into His riches and right down to the fact that we can know His will here and now. Your kid drives you crazy. God, please give me wisdom. And He gives you wisdom. And the whole thing turns. Eh? Everything turns because God gives you wisdom. He gives you the word that is sharper than a two-edged sword that does exactly what it's supposed to do. All your in the past had no effect. Suddenly the Lord gives you that gem that does it. It goes right in. It's got an anointing. You see, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. When it comes from God, it's powerful. It's powerful and can change people's lives, people's hearts. One little word, you said, hello, 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 I'm so nice, da, 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 the whole time to this dear person that works with you. And then the Lord gives you that gem, just that little thing. You know, in fact, David's dad, Herky, told me a story once. Now, I don't know the detail, so I'll probably get the detail right, but you'll get the principle. He says he used to love to give to beggars. Uma Herky. Do you know who Uma Herky is? Okay, David's dad. He's there with us in Stellenbosch. So he said that he used to love it when there's beggars, because then he gives them money and then he preaches the gospel at them. See, it's like he buys the right to preach the gospel at them. So he still felt it was an opportunity. But then there was a friend who walked with him at a stage, a very godly man, and there was also a beggar on the street. And he went to this guy. As he passed him, he didn't give anything to him. He just said to him, you don't belong here. And he walked on. And Amarki thought, he doesn't even preach the gospel at him, nothing. He doesn't even give him anything. You know, he just walked on. But he said to him, you don't belong here. Years later, this man who said this had to enroll his kid at a school. When he met the headmaster said, I know you. You said to me, you don't belong here. And that word, I realized, this is rubbish. I must get up here and I must go do something with my life. And now he's the headmaster of the school. Okay? That word was the right word for that guy. It wasn't going to help to give him 10 bucks and preach the gospel to him. That wasn't going to work for him. And God wants us to be sharp like that, you see. Now, why would we do that? It's a guilt. Oh, I must give. You know, the Bible says da, 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 da. But God wants us to know, be sharp, to know exactly. Jesus didn't get that guy to walk at the gate beautiful. Oh, why not? Because it wasn't what God told him to do. See, he had his right time, a perfect time for God's healing by the right people. Everything was worked out perfectly. And God wants us to live there. Oh, I get excited even as I speak. I hope you are as well. Anyway, so let's talk about how can we position ourselves. Let me explain to you. God wants us to position ourselves, just like you tune the radio in to hear the voice. He wants us to position ourselves to hear that voice. It's a matter of positioning. You know, if it rains outside and you're inside, then you know it's raining, right? Well, how do you know it's raining? Well, you can see it. You can hear it on the roof. This roof will probably make a huge racket. And you can see it, and you can even smell it. But can you feel it? How are you going to feel it? You're going to walk outside and stand in it. Then you feel the rain. Okay. So you've got to position yourself. You've got to get up from where you are, and you've got to walk somewhere. And now you're positioned to actually experience the rain. Not just sort of know about it at a distance. Experience it. And that is why you know, with some Christians say, oh, the Lord said this to me, the Lord said that to me. The Lord never says nothing to me. You know, so you don't want to say it, because if you're a good Christian, then the Lord says, but his sheep hear his voice. I'm not hearing his voice. Maybe I'm not a sheep. You know, I hear nothing. I hear nothing. So, but I'm not going to tell anybody, because they're going to kick me out of the church. They're going to say, get saved. You know, I don't know where you're supposed to get saved, but in any case. So positioning ourselves, let me get on. God wants us to position ourselves into the right mindset. Firstly, there's two things there. Do you have it? The mind of Christ. We're going to look at some scriptures there. If we position ourselves in a particular mindset, then we are in a place where we can potentially hear that instruction from God. Okay? That little voice behind us saying, actually in the Old Testament was behind you, but now it's inside of you. If we receive the Holy Spirit, that voice is just inside of us, and it's not, doesn't come by way of you shall do this. It's just a knowing. It's just a knowing. It's not an instruction like we used to be get instructions from the outside. It's just a knowing, this is what I've got to say here. Sometimes it happens as you say it even. It's just something on the inside that that gives you that, if we can call it an instruction, or we're leading. Those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Eh? Those who are led by the Spirit, that Spirit inside of you leads you. And you allow yourself to be led there. We can resist that voice. We can resist that unction, which most Christians do, by the way. And it's a very dangerous place, because they're lazy. Lazy. Okay. And there's in this area, there's a stronghold of laziness in East London. So be aware of it. It can rub off on you as a Christian. Don't fall for it. Okay. Just by the way. So, where do I get? Let's just start with the whole mind of Christ business. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16 says, but we have the mind of Christ. So in other words, the Lord has come into your life, if you've invited him and you've made him the Lord of your life, which means he's in charge, eh? Is he Lord of your life? Is he in charge of everything? Everything? Is he in charge of everything? No, he isn't really. You know, but he's going to show you the things that he's not in charge of as you walk. Because we think, oh yes, God, we're in charge of everything. Until he comes and says to you like the rich young man, sell all your stuff and give it to the poor. I thought you were in control of everything, but you know. And so God will from time to time show us that there's certain things that he's not in control. And then he will challenge you there. And then it's your choice to put it on the altar or not. To lose your life so that you can find it. Because God got something much better for you. To us it feels like the end of the world. But in fact, like he said when the rich young man walked on, he didn't call him and say, oh, please come back, listen to the rest I've got to say. He didn't say that. But he said to his disciples, you know what? When you give away, I'm going to give you much more in return. But that guy must now first go his way, because he must go and click that by himself. Apparently he was then Barnabas later on, according to tradition, who did turn and come back after who knows how long. Well, he obviously went and weighed that up and realized that God is not in control of his life. You see, so there will be, from time to time, God's going to show you in certain areas of your life, and then it's a matter of bending the knee. If we don't listen to that instruction that comes, or that challenge that God brings us. Like he says to us, and some of you already went, oh my goodness, this stronghold has already had an effect on me, this town stronghold, this laziness, this sort of laid back, comfortable, pleasure sort of, you know, I'll come to church on a Sunday, but, you know, cell group is just pushing it a bit, and prayer meeting on a Monday night, goodness, the church is taking over my life. You know, you must see how things go in Stellenbosch for those of you who weren't there. You live, eat, fret, everything is church and you love it. We can't have enough meetings to satisfy everybody, you know. Because once you plug into eating the real stuff and getting into that, you know, when those things start filling up the rubbish that you used to fill your soul up with, You discover that it's much more exciting. You've got to discover it, you see. You've got to take a risk. You know, you've got to jump off that side of the pool to experience the water. No, but I'm not sure that the water, maybe I don't like wet. You know? Anyway, it's an effort to jump. You know? It's nice here in the sun. You've never discovered swimming. You know, you've never discovered the fun you can have in water until you jump into the water. And so sometimes God will tell you to take that little bit of a risk, you know, and I speak to that person and yes, go say, man, can I pray for you? You know? What if she doesn't get healed? All kinds of excuses, you know? Then God, you're going to be embarrassed. But actually, you know, it's you that's going to be embarrassed, but you're not going to say so. You know, so we fool ourselves. But in any case, so many Christians live very mediocre lives. They have not a clue about abundance of life because they will never jump off the side. They will never just risk being obedient. Because what if? What if? What if? And so they never experience the freshness of experiencing God's miracles that happen when you're actually obedient, when you don't know what effect it's going to have, and then this person actually gets healed. You never experience God's miracle working power in your life. I was sharing yesterday, you know, that there was a girl who came to stay with me over the weekend, and I really don't like her at all, not at all. It's a young girl, 18 years old, and it's an old friend of Fred's daughter from Sweden. And I didn't want her there for various reasons, you know. And I was irritated with her. But now I'm preaching that one must love everybody. So now, you know, you can't preach stuff and not do it. So now I'm trying to persuade God that this girl should really not come. I'm trying to, but as I'm persuading, and just like Jesus in the Gethsemane, he says, please let this cup pass from me. You just get the silent brass heaven that just says, just get over all your tantrum now. She will come. And guess what? You got to love her. So now I know I can't because it's not in me. So now I say to God, just before she comes for the weekend, you know, the time comes closer and I don't feel like it. You know that feeling? All of you are. Love all people I know, so talking to the wrong people. And I'm irritated, and I don't want to see her. I just want to slam her face in when I see her. Actually, if I must be honest, you know, we must get honest, eh? So I tell these things to God. God can deal with honesty, you know. When we put up a face before God, he says, now what? Ugh, please, just shut up, you know. Just please be honest here, so I can help you, you know. Don't tell God I've got a little problem. Tell him I've got a massive problem. Then he will give you a massive grace. Otherwise, he just gives you this little bit of grace, you know? Oh God, I'm a little bit irritated with God. No, God, I want to smash her face in. And so I say, so God, you know that your Bible says I must love her, but I can't. I don't know how. She just irritates me. Everything about her irritates me. Clothes. Oh, my goodness. She hardly wears anything, you know? My son is 16 years old. I don't know what goes on in his mind when she comes there, you know? Anyway, so now I say to God, please God, I ask that you will change my heart. I've got to love this girl. And then you know he does. Changes my heart completely. I sort that in one weekend. I sort out her whole cupboard. She knows, understands that it's not good to show everything because she's really not doing the men a favor because they are hunters and they want to see everything. I said, you want a decent boyfriend, girl? This is how it works, you know, but all in a loving way. And wonderfully, the Lord gives me wisdom. In the end of the weekend, she's my best friend. She wants to be my daughter. She says her mother never spoke to her about any of this stuff. And yeah, I sit with a girl, 18-year-old girl, and I've got a daughter as well. Just had sons. And I love her. And she goes and I think, ah, ah. You know. Whereas before I wanted to smash her face in. Now that's a miracle, people. You know. That's a miracle. But now if I said, no, Fred, I... What was that, a miracle? You're all alive. Oh, that lazy spirit has all jumped off you guys. It's gone. East London, here comes the army of the Lord. Did you hear the gunshot? Anyway, let's go on. Where am I? I'm not even a quarter way. Anyway, don't worry, I'll go faster now. Okay, so now 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16 says we have the mind of Christ. See, when we give our lives to God, we have the mind of Christ. It sits on the inside of us. Okay? But now it also says Philippians 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. But now I have it. Why do you say, let this mind? It's not going to shoot again, eh? I'm so nervous now. It shoots my mouth in. It's talking about bashing the poor girl's face in. I guess that was just a bit of sound effect. Any case. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. And now, what is this now? He says we have the mind of Christ, okay? But now he says, let this mind be in you, that was also in Christ Jesus. The difference is abiding, because God says, abide in me, you see. Like the vine and the branches, he says, stay in me, stay in me. How do we stay in him? I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have to listen to the tapes from yesterday. Okay, that's going to explain exactly to you how do you abide in Christ. Okay, if I go into that too much now, it's about your spiritual disciplines. Let me just give you an idea. You're going to have to, just like you look after your body, you're going to have to look after your spirit. Once your spirit is alive, you can't just ignore it. You've got to keep it fresh. You've got to get into spiritual discipline. You cannot have this devil in this town drag you into laziness spiritually. You've got to feed your spirit. You've got to drink spiritual drink. You've got to exercise. Same stuff that you need to do with your body, okay? To keep your body healthy. You've got to unload to God. That's going to the toilet, you know. You've got to be regular, right? You know, there's so many things, like Johan was sharing, there's so many medical things that we can use as parables to understand lots about God. So just check, what do you do with your body, your physical body? The same, there's a counterpart for everything. I'm the bread of life. Drink of the wine, you know, drink of the water, the living water, etc. You know, etc. Bring your burdens to me. Cast your cares upon me. You know, these are all like, we can all see how keeping your body healthy, you know. You can just take it exactly like this and put it over to the spirit and keep your spirit healthy. Abide in me. Then all of those things, you don't have to think then. What shall I do now? You'll just know. When your spirit man is strong, see, we spirit, soul, and body. When your spirit man is strong, you feed it, you know, etc. You keep it healthy. It says that when you're led by the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So you know, the thing is not to try and kill your sins. Forget about your sins, man. It's been dealt with on the cross. You fill your spirit up with God. And then all of those things find its perspective, you know. Suddenly that movie's boring that you were craving. You know, I don't even watch a romantic comedy. You're just wanting to escape reality because your reality is boring. So you want to go and live into somebody else's reality. And when the movie's over, you go, ah, now what now, you know. You get this nice feeling that lasts for 10 minutes. But God wants to give you riches on the inside of you. And that is why his word to us this morning is clear. Did you hear that girl crying? It's the cry of God's heart. Man, I've got everything for you. Just come to me. But you're going to have to make time. You're going to have to put some other stuff aside. And you're going to have to dig because we're too lazy. Oh, instant coffee. Thank you very much. 3 verses in the Bibles. Nothing's happening. Doesn't work. You know? You're lazy. God says, seek me with all your heart. Oh, you're going to discover stuff. You know, here you've got to drive a little bit to get to the real best spots. They took me there to these amazing spots. Thin them, Johan. Anyway. Can't remember your names. Elena Nas. Anyway, you know, you've got to drive a little bit to get to the best spots. And the same with God. You want to get that pearl of great price, man, you've got to go through a couple of oysters to get to the big one. But you know, when you get the big one, somebody brings you the oyster, says, gives you the pearl, and says, here's a pearl for you. Oh,
Okay.
But when you go digging for it, and God knows that, we actually love adventure. He wants to take us on an adventurous journey into Scripture where you read the Scripture and you get to a bit that goes, I don't understand this. Instead of going, oops, forget about it, you go, God, I don't understand this. What is this? I remember I went like that once when I was reading about and bringing the Ark of the Covenant back. And now this one guy, Uzzah, he steadies the Ark of the Covenant. And guess what God does? He strikes him stone dead right there on the spot. I say, when I read it, I go, was that necessary? I go to God, you know. But won't you explain this to me? Because I don't understand this. Because now obviously you're perfect and you're doing here something that's really messing with my understanding of you. This poor guy is just trying to do you a favor, you know. And then the amazing thing happens. I never said to anybody, but the very next Sunday, Fred talks about it. In his sermon, and he explains what happened there with Uzzah and the thing, and I go, my goodness. But you know, also, it's not a matter of saying to God, God, show me, and I'll go, and I was going to show me, you know. He shows, he's going to show me, but not necessarily right there. So I'm very happy reading Scripture. Sometimes I don't understand a thing, you know. Sometimes I don't understand why this happened. And then I say it to God. And lo and behold, at some point, he loves it when we ask. You know, on our Bibles, we've got this big upside down question mark that says, dare to ask. God loves it when we ask. Because he loves showing it to us, bringing us a huge answer. So that you not only understand it sort of, you really understand it. He gives you all the different angles, and it sometimes takes a while, you know, to get all the different angles, but he's going to show you, boy. And that's discovering, you know, getting into that stuff. Saying to God when you come to, you know, I want to draw close to you, but I don't know how. I don't know how. Won't you show me? What shall I do, God? Shall I read the Bible? Shall I pray? Or shall I? And then you know what? He will show you. He will show you because you're asking the right questions. Because, you know, he also wants to meet with you much more than what you want to meet with him. But we go, ooh, what formula shall I use? Shall I sit like this? Shall I go on my knees? Maybe this is a better stance. You know? And then I think, grit, is my life pure enough? Maybe I must, ooh, and you're reminded of all this stuff. Now come the devil and he comes and accuses you. Just so that you won't be bold enough to say, hello, God. And to know that when you say, hello, God, he goes, ah. With his arms wide open, regardless of all your weaknesses and sins, and you could have killed your mother yesterday, you know what? You can still come to him boldly. Boldly. Because he says so, you know. Later on the list, you know, of the Our Father, there's forgive my sins as I forgive others. Later on the list. You don't come into God's presence trying to clean up your act. You know, you just, when you say, here I am, God, he already draws close to you. He says, when you draw close to him, he will draw close to you. But we like pineapples. You know, my husband once said to me, we're young married. Now, I didn't receive much affection from my father because my father was sort of like on a pedestal kind of a thing. So us kids, we didn't really know him. We met too many kids in any case. But seven of us. But so now when I got married, I didn't sort of understand this whole affection thing, but I craved it. But then as soon as Fred hugged me or something, then I would like, well, he explained it very nicely. He said to me, I can't hug you because I wanted his affection, but then when it gave it, I didn't know what to do with it. So then I said, why don't you hug me anymore? So he said to me, it's difficult to hug a pineapple. And many times we like that with God. You know, he wants to hug us, but we all, you know, we're sitting there figuring out how shall I approach him. In the meantime, he just wants you to relax, you know, so that he can just hug you, man. Know that he's going to hug you. Know that you are accepted. Completely accepted. Hello. You know. And once you understand that, you can actually relax and experience his embrace. It's like just a sense of well-being. You know. But you'll know it. If you're open for it. But if you don't know, and if you're like that, then you can't feel a hug. If you try to hug somebody who looks like this, you sort of, okay. Back off a little bit, because the person is giving you a good message. They don't hug me. Okay. Let's go on. Oh, my goodness. Right, so let's just quickly look at the mind of Christ. He explains this in two things, just to get ourselves positioned. To get ourselves positioned. Okay, you must please bear with me today. I only see you once every 3 years. So, anyway, forget about the chicken in the oven. That can wait. Okay, so to get into the mindset of God, he explains it in the next verse. Philippians 2 verse 8 says, look at that one. And you will see his mindset in his relationship with God. This is the mind of Christ. And God says we must have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, but he says that we must abide in that mindset. And this is his mindset in his relationship to God. Two words there that are very important. Can you see I made it very easy for you? What are the two words in his relationship to God that stand out in the scripture? Being found in appearance as a man, this is talking about, if you read in context, Jesus coming out of heaven, becoming a man just like us. He says he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Those two things. That's the mindset of Christ. Now, God wants us to grow in that mindset. And he just wants us today to say, yes, God, I want to grow in that mindset, because we're not there. None of us are there yet, but he wants us to grow. He wants you to look back after a year and say, goodness, I'm much more desirous now. I'm much more obedient to God now. I'm much more humble as well. It's better to say I'm humble. Usually when people say I'm so humble, usually it's dangerous. In any case. So that is where God wants us to. This is the mind of Christ. And then just the verse, just before, when he talks about the mind of Christ, he explains what the mind of Christ should be towards our fellow human beings. And he says, especially the people in the body of Christ, but also the people out there, he says, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Remember, it was humility and obedience that marked his relationship with God. What is marking the relationship with one of them coincide? Humility. Can you see that? Humility coincides. Lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others higher than himself. But what would sum up humility and toward others? What would sum up the rest in one word? Love that comes out in servanthood. Can you see that? Servanthood. Jesus demonstrated it when he washed his disciples' feet. He says we must regard others high. Now, this is something that all of us have got to seriously grow in. That we must regard others higher than ourselves. Jesus showed it by washing his disciples' feet. You see, you can't serve. This is a picture of serving when he washed his disciples' feet. You can't wash somebody's feet if you're higher than them. Isn't that so? You've got to go down there. You've got to regard. You can't serve from a place like that. So if we want to serve the poor, we've got to regard them higher than ourselves. We've got it all wrong, you know, like a colonial sort of, I'll serve you, I'll bring the gospel to you, you know, from a higher point of view. But we don't see the people as God sees them. God came and became a human being. He came and completely lowered himself under man. Hey? Completely. And he demonstrated it by washing his disciples' feet, man. He's only God. But that is the mind of Christ. He wants us to grow in that mind, where we will not regard somebody in the flesh anymore. But we will see the DNA of God in every human being, because every person is made in the image of God. Wow. If you think like that, then you're going to think differently about serving. You know, some people we defer to very easily. Oh yes, I look up to this person, but I don't look up to that person. Oh. You know, she's just, you know, and he's just a kid. Oh, he's a child that's made in the image of God. I must serve him. Now that thing has got to grow in the church, you see. If we can regard each other, and then just start with each other, you know. And then take it one step further and one step. And when we start noticing that there's certain people, or sometimes people, groups that we look down upon, ooh, God is rattling our cages in that area at the moment, if we're open for him to rattle it. If we're not open for him, you know what? We can, in the end, we can quench the Holy Spirit so much that he just disappears. If we do it continuously, don't want to hear what God says to us, don't want to bow the knee in the things that he's rattling us at the moment, we can really end up just completely being so deceived that we don't even know that we're deceived. But all we're living for is ourselves. I must really go on now. Okay. So, So that is the mind of Christ. This is the mindset of Christ toward God, obedience and humility. God, I will do whatever it takes. That is what we must grow in. You know, if you've got two sons, let me give you an example. You've got two sons. You say to the one, won't you mow the lawn for me? He says, yes, Mom. And then 2 hours later, you see he's still reading his book on his bed. So you go to your other son, won't you mow the lawn for me? Yes, Mom. And he gets up immediately and he goes and mows the lawn. Who are you going to ask next time? The second boy, please. You're not going to waste your breath on the first boy, right? And many times we don't hear the voice of God because he's not speaking to us, because there's no use giving you an instruction because you're not going to do it anyway. You're always intentional. Yes, God, I will do it, but you never do it. Always get distracted. So you know you mustn't be surprised when the voice just fades in the end. Because God's actually not talking to you because he's going to be wasting his breath. He's rather going to talk to the guy that always says, the Lord said to me and the Lord said, that irritates you so much. But he says, you know, I'll take those things that I give you, those talents, and I'll, you know, the guy who just gave God back what he gave him, in any case, in the first place, and didn't go and do something with it, didn't get diligent with it. You know, the whole story of the five and the two and the one talent. God says to me, you're lazy and wicked. Lazy and wicked. God doesn't have too much time with laziness, so we're going to have to overcome the spirit of this town. We're going to have to overcome it. And we are able to in God's strength and his grace. And how amazing will it be if you are the diligent one at work? What is this person? He's on time. You know, for starters, with a smile and energy. And he does twice the amount of work than the rest of us, you know. And he doesn't just live for the weekend. And sometimes over a weekend I can push his button. He's not somebody sit somewhere on an island with a pina colada, you know. I can actually expect him to be somewhere other than just relaxing, you know. It'll really change the style if they can see that there are people who can actually overcome the spirit of the style. They look up to you and you will have influence. People are dying for some role models. They are dying for some role models. And if they can't find anything, you know what? Many people just lose hope. If they can't see hope in other people. God wants us to demonstrate hope for a better life to people around us. Okay. So now we got the whole mindset thing right. Now we're going to the instruction of God. The instruction of God. Now we're getting to the stuff that you're wanting to hear. Right. So what does God have to say? First we must understand, what is God saying to the whole church? To the entire church. When he left the earth, what did he say to his entire church? What was his instruction to the entire church? Can you? You're quiet around you. You haven't had to see us around. You will say this thing up 10, 20 times when he's here, when he comes next. Matthew. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. You know? Oh, no, I'm getting up now, I'm getting out of here because I'm not an evangelist. This lady must please just not tell me to not tell people about the gospel. Now, that's what I'm telling you. What I'm telling you is everybody's got his different calling. Maybe you've got a calling to make lots of money. But if you're only going to make money for yourself so that you can have a nice time, you know, if that is your mindset, what must your mindset be? Obedience to God and wanting to serve, you see, and putting the kingdom of God first, you see. So this is what God gives. This is the instruction he gives to all his disciples. So we as a church together, if we don't have the people of this town, and don't talk to me about India if you can't save the people in your town. You see, there's people that always want to go on missions. Go! But they're not willing to go just to your neighbor and to consider your neighbor. And it starts in our mindset concerning others. It's not what you do. The doing is going to follow naturally as the Holy Spirit leads you, you know. But it is in ons ingesteldheid. Do I care about the lost or don't I? And this is, let me tell you, this is the dividing line at the moment. That is at the moment separating the wheat from the chaff. God is saying, who's got my heart? Who hasn't got my heart? Who wants my heart? Who's starting to realize, because the Lord is speaking to lots of us, I don't care about the people that are lost. In fact, I want them to go to hell. You know?
Some of them really irritate me, and I don't care if they go to hell. And nowadays, I mean, you know, nowadays there isn't a hell. Have you noticed the latest teachings? You know, there's no hell. Everybody goes to heaven. Now, why must I then not preach the gospel? Why does God want me to preach the gospel then? For what? You know? For a very good reason, because there is a heaven and there is a hell. You see? And we must be concerned for people who don't know the truth. And God, and we don't have to try and figure out where are they going. Are they going to heaven or to hell? When this one died, that's God's business. All he says to us, his instruction to us is, preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations. Okay. Starting where you are, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then into all the earth. Okay. Starting where you are. If our hearts, if our mindsets are selfish, I want to get all the benefits of Christianity. I want to hear his voice. I want to have the comfort of his love and his presence and the friends that I have in church and all of that stuff and his provision and his love, because he says he will never leave me nor forsake me, and he'll solve all my problems for me, etc. It's all about me and myself and how I can grow fatter and fatter and fatter and fatter. You don't even know it. You're not even saved anymore. That's how bad it is, people. Let me tell you a dream. I know Andre shared it with a couple of you. That CS had lately that really sums it up. He had this dream. He says he saw a lot of us Christians in this big building, this round building. And he was on the outside of this building and he saw this long queue of people, scores of people, long queue, queuing. There's only one entrance to this building. And he can't understand why this queue doesn't move. You know, everybody wants to come in, but the queue doesn't move. So he goes to the front and he sees there's like the security gate there. But this security gate is so strict, you've got to measure you, they've got to measure everything about you, then you've got to fill in this long form, and it's a whole lot of stuff that you've got to do to be able to get in, and then finally you can come in. And then he said he went inside, and there were lots of Christians. They were all fat. He said he recognized lots of them. And I said some names. I'm not going to mention the names. Nobody here that he mentioned. Anyway. And we were laughing and having fun. And there was cake and food. And we were having the biggest party in your life. But we were all fat. You know, and having the most wonderful time. And then he went outside again. And he talked to one of the guys. And he says, who are you? And he said, the Holy Spirit was outside. He was also standing in the queue. And all these people, all these wonderful Christians, didn't even realize that they were having a wonderful time and God wasn't even in their midst. And so there are people that are craving God's presence and fill me up with yourself. And, you know, there's sometimes a soaking in God's presence. There's nothing wrong with worshiping God and all of that stuff, but it's just for you. For yourself, and not to soak up God so that I can, like he says, with the oxygen that I go and fetch from the lungs so that I can go serve. Then you're going to develop a what? A blood clot or something, okay? It's going to become a blood clot. You're going to die. You're actually going to die, and Christians don't realize that many of them are stone dead and they don't even know it. And they have abundance of life. And they think that is the proof that they saved. In the meantime, the Lord says, those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. You see? And the Spirit will always lead you through the lungs onto the other side of the heart so that you can pump to the rest of mankind. You see? And this is something that the Lord is really, and if you feel dreadful now, then it's good. Because you can't change yourself, but the Lord is speaking to you. You know, and if you sit here like a fat cat, and this is not doing something, because every time I preach it, it does something to me. It reminds me, what am I here for? I'm not here for myself. God's going to give me everything. This is the most incredible thing. He says, if you want to save your life, you must lose it. And I've experienced when I lose my life, when I bend the knee and I do the thing and I get my mindset into Christ, he gives me so much more. He gives me so much more. He gives me so much that I can't thank him enough. I can't worship him enough. I'm so thankful because he says that I'll take that talent from the guy who just sits there, and I'm going to give it to you as well. You know? And you're going to experience so much. And I just sit there and think, oh,
God, look at my kids. They love me so much. They love God. They're so incredible, you know. My 16-year-old son sits next to me on the couch and he holds my hand and he rubs my hair and he tells me how beautiful I am and he wants to marry somebody just like me. He writes essays about me at school. I say, God, a 16-year-old boy loves his mother like that. Isn't that amazing? Did you see God? You know? And I'm so full of thankfulness because God just rewards and he pours his life because I'm thankful. And then when he gives me something, I go, oh God, I've got to preach to East London this morning. Thank you for the privilege. Oh, imagine. I must speak your word to your people. What a privilege. Almighty God. Almighty God wants to use me, and I can tell you I was a bad sinner. And not before I got saved. After I was saved. Very bad, very bad. You have got no idea what it took for God to bring me where I am today. And there's still lots to do. But I won't tell you. You'll be very shocked. So God can use you. I'm telling you now. God can use anybody. He can grow you up from absolutely nothing. If you will just yield to His Spirit when He calls you. When you just take that risk. When He says, do this. You know. You grow into it. And I mean, the abundance just starts dripping off you. It just starts dripping off you. It takes your breath away how He blesses you. It really takes your breath away. When you're willing to lose your life. For His sake, His kingdom's sake, and His gospel's sake. He adds, I can't even begin to explain to you. I think you get the picture with all my tantrums now, yeah. Okay. It's really real. It's really, really, really amazingly real. So, that's the bigger picture. Oh, 11 o'clock, Lord, please let the sun stand still. So now we look at the big picture. God says this is the mindset. We must care about the people out there. This is just where He wants us to orientate ourselves. From there onwards, He'll give us instruction for whatever calling, you know, how you fit into this bigger picture of reaching the people around you. But firstly, you must be willing, because I'm not going to tell you to mow the lawn if you're not willing, you see. If you're wanting to mow the lawn, wow, you know what, God gives me a lawn. My dad gives me a lawn that I've been playing on for now 15 years, and it's the first time He's asking me to mow the lawn. And I realize he's had this whole house with the lawn and everything just for my pleasure. How wonderful it is that I can now start contributing, you know, working together with him, maintaining this whole thing, you see. And so with that mindset, God's going to give you more and more and more and more, and you're going to see more and more miracles, more and more miracles. You're going to see the hand of God, and your faith is going to grow. Lots of your faith, you don't even believe anymore, you know, because you don't experience God. When else did you see a miracle? When you think a miracle, you think of somebody must jump out of a wheelchair. But you can have God's miracles in your lives all the time. As you obey and you see him doing miracles because of your obedience, you know. I can tell you so many stories, but yeah, anyway, let me go on. So now the Lord speaks to the entire church and He says, this is the mindset. Look into my eyes, I want to lead you with my eye. My eyes full of compassion for the lost. What did I do? What's the whole Bible about? It's just about the cross. Everything points to the cross and from the cross onwards. You see, what Jesus has done. So if you want to be led by my eye, He says, I want to lead you with my eye. Not like a meal that you're going to pull this thing, yank, and get hurt and first learn your lesson the hard way. He wants you to just see into His eyes. The eyes are the window of the soul, isn't that so? And the soul of God is full of compassion for the lost. And He wants us to have that. And this morning we're going to say to God, oh God, I don't have it. Hey? Who says, who wants to this morning say, God, I don't have it. Please, won't you put it in my heart? Be honest. Be honest. You know? And He's going to do it. And that's going to be a miracle. Because you're going to know it wasn't in your heart. Okay? And He says, you don't have because you don't ask. If you ask this, you're going to get it. Because this is according to God's will. Okay? You're going to really experience an answer to prayer. So, I'm not going to go on with this. I'm going to be too long. In fact, I'm going to now conclude. I see it's 11 o'clock already. I think I've basically, in a way, I've said what I wanted to say, but I want you to understand, to sum up, the Holy Spirit, when we have the Holy Spirit, we have the mind of Christ. We have, this Holy Spirit shows us the mind of Christ, wants us to abide in it, and then He wants to give us from that place, as we position, we're in the rain now, He wants to give us the rain. He wants us to experience His word. But listen to me, this is my last statement, listen to me. The positioning is all about God. I want, firstly, my relationship with you, humility, obedience. My relationship with people, humility and servanthood. That's the mindset of Christ. God, I see it. It's not there. Won't you please change my heart? Okay? And then, the next thing is the instruction of God. Lord, I'm not under the canopy of your big instruction. So I'm not even in the rain. I'm standing here. Your big instruction is there. I'm not under it. I'm outside of the big instruction to all Christians. I first have to come under there to get instructions for my life personally. Then I've got to come under the instruction of the local church, you see, because now it narrows down. And so God will lead the local church through seasons. And I mean, really, guys, if Andre talks about a family, when he phones me and he says, you know, I feel this is what the Lord is saying, then I say, Andre, we've been preaching it. Go on. I preach a sermon in Stellenbosch. Andries comes to me. He's got to preach the next Sunday. He says, now you took my sermon. What must I now preach? I say, preach the same thing. The Lord is saying the same thing. Then I go to Somerset West the other day. There sits Jan Kor. You know, I preach this thing. Jan Kor says, you know what? 3 weeks ago, I preached exactly the same as you. I used precisely the same scripture. Start with the same scripture. They're going to think that I cribbed from you. They're going to think that you preached this thing somewhere else and I cribbed from you. And none of us heard each other anyway. And the Lord is saying something to us as a shofar body. And he works in seasons. Last year you would have heard that God wants to get us out of works into grace. Understanding what he did for us. And now he's wanting us to move into the balance. Because now some of us went and threw out the baby with the bathwater. Some of us decided, I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do nothing anymore. Because God's grace is so wonderful. And that's great because you were so into works that maybe you had to go the other way. But now God wants to bring us back to balance, you see, where we understand the goodness and the severity of God. The goodness and the severity of God. Because he says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You see, the beginning of wisdom is just that awe of God. Man, he created everything. That's why I said it. When you need to sort of just remember again who you are, just look at the creation and go beyond the tree outside. Go into the galaxies. Go into the creation and go, ooh, God, you're big. Oh. You're bigger than all of this because you created this, you know. Oh. This is your creation. You're bigger than that. And then you'll get a little bit of balance back into your mind, the fear of God, the awe of God, you see, understanding that he created me as well. I belong to him. And he entrusted the earth to me. He said to Adam, rule and reign. And then he messed up. And then he came with Jesus. He's the second Adam. Rule and reign again. We're so privileged people. We are supposed to rule and reign on the earth. We can take charge of everything that the devil does in people's lives, including our own. And put it in his place. Spirit of fear. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And it goes, you know. But we don't. And so we don't see it happening. We've got so much authority, we've got so much incredible power, but we don't use it because we, you know, and God's gonna start letting it start popping up all over his body because he wants the sons of God to be revealed to the earth, to know who are the sons of God. It's not everybody who can do a miracle, but God wants us to do it because there's going to be lots of signs and wonders. You know, it's already popping up all over the place. We've got to discern what is from God and what is from that devil. Because he loves to copy God. But the people who bear the fruit, that's why God says, look at the fruit. Please don't run off to every guest speaker and fancy person from all over the show, you know. Look at the fruit over time, you know. Lots of people, men of God, oh, this guy does such incredible miracles, you know. He must be of God. No, not necessarily. Look at the fruit of his life. Are his children serving the Lord? Is his wife happy? Has he got one wife? Or is it his third? You know? Just look at, you know, God's got grace and all of that stuff. But he says, let leaders be the husband of one wife. It's possible. If you can't work stuff out with your wife, you know, unless she's just adulterous and pushes off, obviously, that's something different. But if you can't rule even in your home, how can you be a leader in the church? Let alone be the big prophet of God like they make some people out to be. You know? Look at the fruit. Look at the fruit. Okay. So, what am I saying? We hear the big instruction of God and then the local instruction. Ach, who's Andre? I mean, he's only got 3 gray hairs. Why should I listen to him? You know? As for Sonica, you know, I've got 3 kids. She's only got 1. What does she know? No, I'm telling you, when the Lord appoints people, he gives them an authority. Don't wait for somebody on the outside to come and say, be on time for church, please. Have you got respect for God? Will you, you know, will you, if the queen, if you have an appointment with the queen, will you come late? No. Now, why do you come late to the household of God? Now, when Andre says it, it's probably, oh, yes, how hum, I'll consider it. No, we must listen to the voice of God. He, I mean, France, Esther, this is so cute. France's wife is sitting. You know, he's a pastor in England. He's just been appointed in England for the last couple of months. Now, France was just the guy in the office at Stellenbosch, you know, an office guy. So he goes to England. He preaches maybe once every 6 months with us in Stellenbosch. He goes to England. He's got to preach every Sunday. His wife sits there. She cries every Sunday. She says, I can't believe how France is preaching. He's preaching so well. I can't believe it. Because, you see, with the appointment comes the anointing. And so that person, God will specifically empower with wisdom and knowledge to know how to lead these people. But we must submit in our hearts to that. It's not to Andre and Sonica that you're submitting as much as you are to God. You see, because he appoints who he will. So when he speaks, don't be casual about it just because he's young, you know, because he's not the archbishop of the shofar family, you know. Let's listen and go with the seasons and be obedient to what God is saying. Many people say, I submit to God alone. But they won't submit to one another in the fear of God. You know? I'm not just talking about them, to each other as well, you know. Because God wants unity, unity. And so what he's saying at the moment, he's leading, always leads in seasons. At the moment he's saying, appetite, I'm changing your appetite. Changing your appetite. I'm going to finish with that last scripture. That's it. Then I'm saying, amen. Then we're going to just respond to the word. I want you to just read this. Isaiah 55, verse 6-7. This is the word that the Lord is giving us. Sorry, Isaiah 55, verse, the whole Isaiah 55 thingy. There's a couple of things. We're just going to read that. This is the word of the Lord to us at the moment, seasonally. Okay, if you want to know what season are we in, this is in general, and it will coincide with everything that was said this morning in the words that came out, etc. Let me put it up. Isaiah 55. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Don't have to pay for God's grace, you see. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. All these things that I was saying to you this morning. Incline your ear. This is what God was saying. Come to me and hear. Hear, and your soul shall live. That area of you that so needs satisfaction will live. He's going to feed your soul. Seek the Lord while he may be found. This is a word that the Lord gives me all the time. Work while it is yet day. Because nighttime is coming where no man can work. And he says this to us. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. God wants to renew our habits and our thoughts. He's going to show you stuff that you must stop dwelling on. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God and he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. Don't think that God's going to go, let you suffer for a while because of your disobedience. No, he abundantly pardons. Instead of the thorn, this is the result of if we get our appetite in line with God. It's just all about God is wanting to bring us into another appetite. It's going to require change. I sat watching the rugby one day, and God called me while I was watching, but the game was so boring, so boring. And God called me right in there, and he said, I want to give you something better. Spend some time with you, give me something without money, without what's in that. And you know what I did? I sat there, and I was too lazy to get up. And I sat there knowing that this is extremely boring. And then you know what after that, because I'm mad about sport. I'll watch sport the whole day if you let me. But you know what? It's starting to get like, how many hours do you spend watching sport? And God's making it easy for me. It's not so interesting anymore. It's like, it's a bit disappointing that it's not so interesting anymore. But
but it's just losing its flavor, and God's taking it away because I said I want to do your will. And so he's helping me. The things that used to satisfy doesn't satisfy me anymore. You see, and now I'm seeing, put up that last one. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. Instead of bearing fruit, that sort of it's fruit, but it's not really doing any good to anybody. Cypress tree gives shade to lots of people. Oh, once we step into our calling and we start affecting the lives of other people, that's when abundant life starts getting up. Let's stand. Let's stand. If there's anybody here this morning who doesn't know God, all the stuff that I said makes absolutely no sense to you, because you know that in the first place you've never even plugged into God. He's never brought that spirit man alive. You know that. You have no revelation of God other than what you've heard from other people. But for yourself, there's no reality. It's just not real for you. If that is you, you know what? And you feel like today, you're convinced that today you want to plug into God. You know today is the day. If there's anybody like that today, let's everybody just close your eyes. Everybody just close your eyes. Is there anybody like that today? You know today is the day. You came to this church, you realize God brought you here for a purpose because you've got no relationship with God, and today you want to plug into God. Is there anybody like that? Will you put up your hand? There's a lady. Is there anybody else? Another girl. Somebody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay, ladies, you can put down your hands. I want you to just now, somebody's going to pray for you. So I want you to come forward, and somebody's just going to pray for you afterwards. For the rest of us, I want you to definitely come forward. I've seen where you are, okay? Because God wants to meet with you. He's going to change your life today. He's going to put inside of you a desire to serve him. He's going to change all your desires. He's going to change you on the inside. When we say yes, you don't have to first fix yourself. He's going to fix you. This is the lacquer part, you see. Because the gospel is good news, not bad news. It's not a load of works. He changes you on the inside. He creates in you the desire and the ability to do his good pleasure. From today on, he's going to do that, and then you just follow it as best as you can. You're going to make lots of mistakes still, but when you make a mistake, you just say, God, I'm sorry, let's go on. He's going to lead you further. Okay, now just by responding like that, God's already doing the work inside of you. But somebody's going to pray with you afterwards. For the rest of us, there's something that you need to respond to from the word of the Lord. You realize there's something that you need God's grace that's not in your life. Some of you have already put up your hands and recognize that you don't care about the lost as you should. Your focus is absolutely not there. It's on yourself. It's on your work. It's on your family. It's on your goodness even. You know, it's in growing and being good or something, Christ-like. But you forgot, completely forgot what you're here for. Okay? I want you to quickly acknowledge that. Put up your hand quickly, quickly, quickly. Just quickly again. Just very quickly, quickly. Your hand high up, tell God, because God wants you to respond. And say to him, okay, God, that's me. Right, now put up down your hand. And you're going to be praying to God. And just say, confess that to him in your own words. Pretend you're all alone before God. There's nobody else here. Just you before God. God listens to your voice. He wants to hear your voice, and he wants you to ask, God, won't you please change my heart? Okay, God, please change my heart. There's other people here who is loath to be obedient. You don't want to take that risk. God speaks to you, and you like that child with a lawnmower. And God says to you, won't you mow the lawn? And you're very intentional, and you always regard God's commands as suggestions. Oh, it's a good suggestion. I'll think about it. And then you find yourself in the end not doing it, and you get away with it. You've been getting away with it up till now. So it doesn't really bug you anymore. But today you realize that the voice has become very sparse in your life. I want you to be very bold and to be very humble. Put up your hand and say, God, that's me. Put up your hand. Quickly, very, very high. Very, very high. God doesn't want you to be half-hearted when you respond to him. Okay, put it down again. Now you're going to pray, and you're going to confess to God, and you're going to ask him to help you again, to bring to life. He's going to bring to life your conscience again. He's going to bring to life everything that's going to hear his voice again. You see, it's going to spring to life, and you're going to say to God, God, I'm going to be obedient from today onwards. I'm going to take that risk. I'm tired of a mediocre life. Okay. Some of us don't. We know there are people that we don't regard higher than ourselves. They might not be here. They might be out there. There might be groups of people. There could even be a racist element in it. Okay?
that you really irritate you. It could be individuals or it could be groups. You don't regard them as higher than yourself. You have never thought about it, like I explained it this morning, that God's DNA is in that person. His DNA is in that person, and He regards that person very highly. All of us who know that we're not there, let's just confess that to God. Put your hand up high. My hand is up very high because I know that I've got to do lots of growing in this area. Lots of growing in this area. Okay. Now we're going to confess that to God, and we're going to say to God, God, please show me when there's a person. Show me who they are. It's not going to happen all at one go. It's going to happen. He's going to show you from time to time. He's going to show you. Lord, will you please make me sharp in that area to pick it up so that I can quickly confess it to you so that you can change my heart. I want to say that again. Don't consider fixing yourself. You will not get it right. God doesn't want you to patch up your soul. He doesn't want you to try and patch up your bad stuff. He wants to make it completely new. Only He can do it. You can't. All we can do is be honest before Him and say, that is so. That is so. I recognize it. Please, God, and I know it's wrong. I want to stay on your path. I don't want to fall by the wayside. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. I want to be those who endure to the end. And I see, Lord, I see that your standard is very high, and I want to go with that. I want to go with that. In Jesus' name. I'm going to give you 2 minutes just to settle that thing with God. Okay? And will those two lovely girls, will you come forward quickly? Just those two lovely girls who put up your hands. Yes, lovely. You and that lovely one there. You can sit there in a corner if you want to, if you're serious about business. If there's people who want to pray with somebody, your thing is so big, you actually want to pray and agree with somebody and bring it into the light with somebody. Sometimes the Lord says, you know, sometimes there's a thing that sits on you. There's somebody here with a habit of pornography. The Lord wants you to bring it to the light. You do pornography in Skellum, and nobody knows about it, only you. God wants you to this morning go to somebody. You're not going to come to the front. No, you're not going to say it to the whole. He doesn't want to embarrass you. But you're going to go before you leave this room. You're going to tell somebody that you trust. That's the first step. You're just going to tell somebody that you trust. Okay? 90% of your problem is already solved then by just bring it into the light. Think festers because it's in the dark. This morning, He just wants you to tell it to somebody that you trust, and you're going to ask that person to please pray for you, that the Lord will help you to stop this habit. Okay, I'm going to give you another 2 minutes. There's a girl here that's jealous of another girl. There's a girl here that's jealous of another girl. The Lord's going to change your heart if you will confess that to God. And you're going to be able to look up to that girl. You look up to the girl that you're jealous of in any case, but there's a love-hate relationship in your heart because you so wish you could be like her. God's going to change your heart if you just confess that jealousy to God and ask Him to cleanse your heart. He will do that for you.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace. God, we thank you for your word this morning, Lord. We thank you for your spirit that's working in our hearts. And Lord, we just receive it, God. We receive the grace, Lord, to be changed, to become everything you've called us to be. We receive, God, that obedience. We receive, Lord God, that humility. We receive, God, the grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness in Jesus' name.